Hello and welcome to the NBA Outlet presented by OTGBasketball.com. I'm your host Nick Faye. With me as always, Corey Waldron and special guest Jack Manuel doing a live show in Stamford, Connecticut. What is up, fellas?
Man, they say the crossover episode is always a disappointment, but that's not going to happen today.
I feel the vibes. It's honestly strange. I mean, Jack, obviously, it's a pleasure meeting you for the first time today. Nick, you know, recording our first ever podcast to live. We're all three of us.
Yeah. It is extremely weird that Corey and I have never recorded together because we've hung out later in the same day. But, yeah, it's going to be great. We're going to talk NBA power rankings via the OTG staff, break it down, start it from the top. But quick reminder, check us out, iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, OTGBasketball.com, Google Play, Dash Radio, and YouTube. So we'll start from the bottom via Drake. Cleveland Cavaliers at number 30 overall. Thoughts about them being there, Jack?
I mean, it was one of Drake's former favorite teams because LeBron was there, I guess. But I think this makes a lot of sense. The Cleveland Cavaliers, you know, they've had some nice wins here and there. Colin Sexton's been nice of late. You know, they added in Alec Burks, Rodney Hood, those former Jazz players have been doing some okay things. But overall, you know, with Kevin Love still out and him not set to return anytime soon, and also him being in a lot of trade rumors, I think it makes a lot of sense that the Cleveland Cavaliers are the worst team in the league right now. I put out a piece for OTG Basketball a little while ago that they're the worst franchise in sports. I mean, it's a bit
I see no lies.
I mean, it's up there. It's definitely up there.
It's certainly up there, but I mean, I'm sort of in a similar vein to Corey's boy, Bill Simmons. I really hope they don't get Zion, but that's a question for another day.
Yeah, I mean, the Cavaliers at 30. Can they get worse? Right. Yeah, maybe 31st.
I mean, they can. Let's put like a G League. Let's put the Long Island Nets up there.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, all the Kevin Love rumors. You know, they trade Kevin Love. They've already lost 8 straight. This team is going to get a whole lot worse than they're going to get better if they trade off Kevin Love.
Hasn't played, so that's the thing. Like, I think it makes more sense. I mean, this is a question for another day, but I think it makes sense to trade Kevin Love.
100%.
I mean, you guys have talked about how much you hate that contract. I'm not as down on it, but I'm a bit of a Kevin Love optimist, so to speak. But that's only because I really like the sort of work he's done outside of basketball. But yeah, the Cavs suck. They're 30th. No surprises.
Worst record in the league. No complaints over here. I mean, it's a good tanking season. That's what they really need. You know, it's just they should have started this mindset going into the season instead of doing it, you know, in the middle of the year.
It hasn't really affected them.
Yeah.
Like at the same time. So like, you know, that early sort of season blip with the whole Larry Drew sort of Tyronn Lue saga. I mean, yeah, it was sort of an aberration, but at the same time, they still suck. And I mean, I think that a lot of other teams who are sort of middling a little bit could probably benefit from what the route that the Cavs are doing.
Yeah, 100%. So moving on from the Cavs, they already got too much airtime.
Cavs fans.
On to the New York Knicks, number 29. Thoughts on this?
I mean, they have to be my favorite team now, don't they, Nick? I'm currently residing in Midtown Manhattan. I better not speak too ill of them, or else I might have some fans coming to my hotel and knocking on my door and such. But the Knicks, I haven't hated what they've done this season. I understand why they are where they are on this list. I think that it's reflective. I think they are, I mean, I think it was that Bulls-Knicks game was one of the worst games of the season that I've watched in person before.
Nobody wanted to win.
No, it was just one of those games which was just like, make it end, please. It was like the Bird Box meme where the guy's holding the person's eyes open and it's forcing you to watch it. And like, I think I was on the OTG account as well, so I was just like, oh, please, just turn on the next game. But I think there's some hope there. Unlike the Cavs have so much, I mean, they've got Sexton, but I think the Knicks have a lot of different pieces. And I mean, and a lot of us aren't fans of Enes Kanter, but he puts up buckets as well. Kevin Knox has been good. Mitchell Robinson, who's on the sidelines, and you know, our boy Mike Ryan has advocated for a Courtney Lee trade as well. So a lot of these lesser teams can still get worse in the Zion sweepstakes or RJ, whoever, whatever sort of bandwagon you're on. But the Knicks have been bad, but I like the direction they're taking. And that I'm not just saying that because I'm in Manhattan for the next couple of weeks.
I'm actually right there with you. I'm actually extremely happy with where the Knicks are. Yep. I think David Fizdale was the right head coach to go after.
Agreed.
The young talent they have is solid. Obviously, Frank Ntilikina, that's kind of like the biggest question mark.
Yeah.
Because they just don't choose to play him.
Yep.
And I don't understand that. But then you look at, you know, Mitchell Robinson, who's been solid. I think Tim Hardaway Jr. has proved that he's probably a decent player. Maybe pay a little bit too much.
Did you guys see the Grizzlies, the SB Nation site? They tweeted out, and it sort of went semi-viral for them. that, like, they said one player that they think could make an impact on this Grizzlies team right now, and they quote tweeted and said Tim Hardaway Jr., and, like, thousands of people liked it, and people were just going wild over it. I mean, I don't hate it, but I think Tim Hardaway, because we're talking about free agency with the Knicks, you know, the Kevin Durant sweepstakes right. as well. But I do like, and I forgot to mention Ntilikina, but Moutier's been playing pretty well.
Extremely well. For what he was what he was valued as going into this year, way above anyone had expected.
Easily. Yeah, he's looking like the draft pick he was supposed to be drafted by Denver now instead of what he was like going but over the last
do season. You guys think that that means he should be playing over Ntilikina or like, you know, Trey Burke, I guess, is this, and even Alonzo Trier?
I think playing Moutier over Ntilikina isn't terrible. Like, I don't think that's the worst thing ever. I think maybe playing Trey Burke over Ntilikina is worse because Burke is a little bit more established. He's a little bit more developed. When you look at Emmanuel Moutier, there was still a lot of development. There was a lot of question mark going in. He needed to develop his jump shot.
Yeah.
Now he's doing that. But you guys mentioned Damian Dotson's also been pretty good for them.
Yeah,
Kevin Knox, like you guys said, rookie of the month. I saw Knox live, second game of the season. Knew for a fact he's going to be a great NBA player, probably be an all-star in the future. Very smooth body movement.
And he's so young as well. Like, is he?
He's still kind of does he have facial hair?
No, he doesn't. He definitely doesn't.
Is it him and Jaren Jackson are the youngest in this class?
I think so.
I think they're still teenagers,
So, I mean, Knicks, like you guys said, they're tanking, but they're handling it great. They're playing hard. They're grinding in games, but still losing. Obviously, big win over the Lakers last night, but, you know, give Fizdale a lot of credit other than the whole Ntilikina thing, which is probably something we don't know about.
Right, and as we mentioned, too, like, some of these, they have assets they can move to get more stuff. I mean, you can move Kanter, probably, and get something. You can move
Lee. Possibly. There's been talk about teams not wanting to take, because he has another year of his contract.
And the injury sort of history, I think, is sort of...
And very streaky. Very streaky guy. It almost feels like every other year is kind of his year.
Yeah,
he's always referenced as a 3-and-D, but he really isn't, like, a great 3-and-D.
Right, yeah.
He's, like, more of an in-between type.
Funnily enough, guys, we haven't even mentioned Kristaps Porzingis.
Yeah. And, I think the fact not having Porzingis in the season that they're having is really good, but...
Would you play him?
No. Corey and I talked about it before the season. Yeah. I think at this point, why?
Yeah.
You want Zion. But, you need one of these rookies that is going to make your franchise. Because if you think about it, you get another top-notch rookie. You got Knox, Porzingis, and whoever that rookie is.
Zion would be pretty sick.
And then whoever knows who you stay.
It would almost make sense for the Knicks, and I'm not just saying this because I'm a Nets fan, for them to sit out a free agency this year and wait for the next season because KP will be developed more, Zion will be developed
more. Cost control for them, of those rookies as well.
And more, less teams will have cap space the following season.
Yeah, I mean, I was chatting about because my girlfriend's a Duke fan, so like I was chatting to her about Zion and stuff and like how much he would change the city of New York.
He'd be
like,
huge.
I mean, we saw when they went to MSG, when Duke went to MSG, and how much, like, you know, that was literally like headlines for days, despite the fact that Zion said nothing. He's just like, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't mind playing for the Knicks if they chose me, but like he would say that against any team.
But funny, talking about Zion, this is for another day, but his voice definitely doesn't sound like what you think it would at that size.
I was stunned when I heard that. I was like, that's him?
He's like David Beckham.
He's like David Beckham.
But
real quick on KP, do you guys think there's any tension between the Knicks and KP, you know, over this stretch and off season?
If we're comparing it to, say, like a Kawhi Leonard, then I don't think it's at that level. But I think at the end of the day, these guys, all the players, have the right to think about themselves and their future.
Mm-hmm.
And because he's a restricted free agent, you know, he's been linked to our guys, the Nets, and some other teams who would be willing to offer him that big payday. Yeah. And he
deserves it,
man. He deserves it, but, you know, a 7'3" guy coming back from an ACL, that's risky, to say the least. So, I mean, yes, there is a little bit of tension, but I think Knicks fans shouldn't be overly worried about that until, say, you know, maybe we come around to June, July.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's a lot of... I mean, if the same brass and coach was in place, like, because obviously we know Hornacek and Porzingis didn't have a good relationship and that ownership, I think if that was still in place, I think the tensions would be a lot higher. I think it's kind of different. I feel like the culture for the Knicks has definitely, it's not a big difference.
Yeah, 180.
But yeah, you know, anytime a guy gets hurt and doesn't get
the only thing I'll bring up is there was this thing about Fizdale saying, oh, he's not sprinting.
Yep.
And then the day later,
he
was sprinting.
Yep.
And there's been a little bit of tension. I think it's more behind closed doors. And there's even been talk about him possibly signing his qualifying offer. Like Jack said, talk about this more in the offseason. Knicks getting plenty of chatter. On to the Chicago Bulls, which easily could be the 30th ranked team in this ranking because of the off-the-court nonsense. Thoughts on the Bulls?
I mean, Jim Boylan is... What can you say? There aren't enough negative adjectives to describe him as an NBA coach, you know? telling his players to do push-ups, all these practices bullshit. The way that they're playing, Zach Lowe's 10 things sort of really illuminated what the Bulls have been like this season, and well, at least under Jim Boylan. They've completely changed tack. They're playing slow basketball. They're posting up. They're not utilizing what is at their disposal. They've got a young team that can run in transition. They're not playing Wendell Carter minutes. Larry Markin and Zach LaVine aren't playing this sort of speedy sort of play that benefits them. And the best coaches, you know, if you go to like a Dave Yeager, who was probably playing an outdated system, has changed completely based on his personnel. Jim Boylan, yeah, he's friends with Greg Popovich, but that doesn't make you a good coach, bro. Like, I'm over it. And I think the Bulls, out of the Cavs and the Knicks, I think if they're looking to get free agents and all this stuff, I mean, they got a couple of nice second rounders in that Justin Holiday trade. But there isn't a lot of bright lights at the end of the tunnel in Chicago.
They have talent, but it's just like the whole system is just terrible.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, I watched the Bulls last night. They played the Pacers, obviously, and the Pacers beat them in overtime. And honestly, it was one of the probably the best Bulls performance this season.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Zach LaVine was balling out. But, you know, Boylan's got, this is a funny comparison. So think about NFL.
Yep.
Everyone who comes from the Patriots, everyone goes after their coaching staff. The Spurs are the NBA version of that. That's whenever true. There's a Spurs assistant coach, everyone's like, oh, we got to interview and bring this guy in.
James Borrego, yep.
And Boylan's the latest guy from that tree. And like you mentioned, they have a ton of young talent. We've talked about this on previous shows. I'm not sure I know who is really a part of this team long term.
Who do you think is their best player in 5 years' time?
Lauri Markkanen, probably.
That's who I think.
Yeah,
well.
I would agree.
I Wendell, think it's got to be him.
Wendell has some really nice
He's probably the second. He might be the best all-around player.
Yeah, yeah. I think Markkanen, we still have, to see him develop, though.
Right,
yeah, no, 100%. Like, the tools are all there. We've seen, like, you see flashes every game from Wendell, but it's like, is he going to get there? Especially with his coaching staff. That's what worries me the most.
The play development.
Yeah, you see guys all the time. They're with a team. They go to a all the players from Orlando.
Yeah.
Victor Oladipo, Tobias Harris. Even Alfred Payton is playing better in New Orleans.
He is.
So I feel like it's like getting the right coach for that talent. You know, the Bulls last in offensive rating, so not with the times.
If LaVine could be efficient, last night LaVine was efficient. Yeah, last night I think LaVine had 17 points in the first quarter, 6 of 7 or 8 of shooting, or 6 of 7, and then foul trouble. But he finished with like 31.
Yeah,
and he shot over 45%. When LaVine is an efficient scorer and he's playing like that, like, it's good. But there's too many nights where he, I don't know if you guys have seen it, I'm sure you have, he dribbles the ball for like 20 seconds.
Yeah, he's not James Harden.
Right, and he forces up a bad shot, and that's something different. And Chris Dunn also, honorable mention.
Yeah, he's been Chris really Dunn good in coming back from health, you know, getting healthy. He's a good fit on a team with more offensive weapons because that's not like his forte is scoring. But defensively, he even caused, I remember watching the Nets and Bulls, D'Angelo Russell a little bit of problem just because he's so athletic and physical. Moving on from the Bulls, though, we could give them a whole show. Phoenix Suns.
I mean, the Suns have been nice of late. I really, really love the addition of Kelly Oubre. I think that has lessened the load and sort of changed their defensive identity somewhat.
Energy, too.
And has really added to the impact that DeAndre Ayton has made.
Mm.
Like, a lot of people were sort of questioning his defensive acumen, his intelligence. But these days, he's asked to do less because they're putting out more lineups where it's Oubre and Bridges. Man, that's going to be a fun lineup if they can somehow lock up Kelly Oubre long-term, obviously, to a manageable deal. But yeah, Devin Booker's been a little bit more efficient. But at the same time, you know, they are still the Phoenix Suns. You know, they still have Robert Sarver as their owner. So, I mean, going forward, I mean, these flattened lottery odds could land them another really nice building block. But at the same time, you know, when we get to the player power rankings, Devin Booker's gotten some really nice love. And DeAndre Ayton, I'm starting to turn around to him. I mean, he's not in the same territory as a Luka, but I think he's on the same level as a Jaren Jackson Jr.
I mean, DeAndre Ayton's offense...
It's insane!
I mean, he's already one of the top offensive centers in the league as a rookie. I mean, the issue for him is strictly defense.
Mm.
And as you mentioned, I mean, what do you guys think about point Booker? Where do you guys stand? Because, like, I'm personally not a fan of Devin Booker running the point, even though it's been... You know, it's working, but you know, when you don't have a point guard and someone's owning the playmaking,
I think it's ideal for his development as a player. You know, right now, because the Suns suck, they're not going to make the playoffs. Let him develop his skill set, but I think getting a good point guard in the future makes the most sense. Allow Booker to come off screens. Also, Ayton's going to benefit 100 times more. Then you have these two weapons that defenses have to worry about. Mm-hmm. Getting a good offensive point guard that can play make right now, second to last in turnover percentage, that's right about the point guard. You know what I mean? Who's he even starting right now?
De'Anthony Melton.
Yeah.
And he has, and I like his fit. Logically, in terms of just like looking, he's a nice defender. You know, he can hit some threes here and there, but he doesn't have the all-round skill set or the
second
maturity.
Round pick for a reason.
Yeah, right. Long term, I think he's a piece. I think he is going to have a long career, but like I think I think it makes sense for the rest of this season. Like, you know, given that sort of experience, you know, do the James Harden sort of with him. I don't think he's going to have anywhere near the ceiling of a James Harden, but it will increase his skill set, similar to Giannis, again, with Jason Kidd as well. And then in the offseason, prioritize getting a freaking point guard.
Yeah, and we've seen ball handlers on multiple teams really change the NBA. That's the way it's going. You're having guys that can shoot, dribble, pass, do all that. I think Devin Booker to really benefit him. And, like, talking about the point guard situation, they're starting Isaiah Cannon, and then they cut him.
Yeah.
So they don't even really know what's going on.
Yeah.
It would make a lot of sense for them to bring in somebody young this season, or like Jack said, develop Melton a little bit more.
Yeah, and they have a couple pieces who could get moving. You know, TJ Warren has had a really good
year.
He's
starting to get mentioned a little bit more, right, in rumors now.
I don't know what the, like, you know, Dragon Bender, who's kind of been a flop, Jackson. He hasn't, Josh Johnson, who's golfer, I think. He hasn't been,
that's NFL.
He hasn't been too good either this year. So, I mean, there are guys that the Suns could move to maybe try and get a point guard this year. I'm not saying there's a ton of options at point guard. It's one
I
of
think
the
Bender
positions.
Probably has no value in my eyes.
Jackson has some value.
Yeah, because he's still athletic.
To a tanking team, to maybe the Bulls or the Cavs or someone else, he could develop, but like, it's definitely a flyer type of thing where there was talk about him being the best player of that draft class.
Oh, my God. I remember that.
Has not happened.
Not the case.
Moving on, though, from the Suns, you know, another development season. And for these, we haven't even really talked about the ranking-wise for these teams. I think the bottom five teams, the next one being the Hawks, we'd all agree they're all bottom five tanking teams, whatever order you want to put them in.
Yep.
Yeah.
Doesn't really matter if we're being honest here. But on to the Hawks, who play a fun style of basketball.
Yeah, they do. I think Kevin Huerter is the new NBA Twitter darling. Everyone loves him. And, you know, I'm a fan of him as well.
He has some really bad games and people still love him.
He had 4 points last night, I think. Poor shooting night.
I don't get it. Like, you know, he's been touted as the next Klay Thompson. I like him too, and I like his value. And I think he might have a sneaky appearance. I think he had a sneaky appearance on Rookie Watch for JBT once or twice as well. So I like the sort of direction that they're sort of taking. It's just whether this pans out. I mean, we're always going to be assessing Trae Young in comparison to Luka Doncic. But, I mean, I know it's Corey's boy. But I think Trae Young has proven that he is going to be an elite passer in this league. It's just whether that shot begins to fall. And, you know, if they could add a Zion Williamson, man, I think Atlanta could be one of the more fun teams to watch. I mean, they already are. And, I still like Vince Carter still getting around. He's starting, isn't he?
He has started some games. He's played big minutes. He's scored 20 a couple times this season.
And they have assets as well. Like, John Collins, I think, has been really good. I know one of you guys mentioned on the OTG Twitter page his sort of value going forward. You know, I think it's obviously as a stretch five. He can hit the three ball occasionally, but he's just not a good defender when it comes to under the rim. So, there's development needed. There's a lot of talent on this roster, and I think that's probably more than can be said of some of these other teams.
All right, so Trae Young is supposed to be the next Curry, and now Huerter is supposed to be the next Klay Thompson. Is this
literally? No, I'm not saying that.
I'm just saying, like, that's an actual take that's out there. I didn't see that.
That's actually for fan choice. Someone sent the topic idea. Is Atlanta trying to become the next Golden State?
Because Travis Schlenk is from Golden State as well.
Okay. I mean, there is some similarities in the style.
I would agree with that. I've watched some.
The caliber of the player is not going to be there. No one's, you know, there's not going to be another Steph. There's not going to be another Clay. There's going to be somebody like them, but they're not going to become that player.
Right. Now, back to what the Hawks are this year. I mean, I think they're actually one of the more intriguing bad teams because they do have a guy like Trae Young. They have Huerter. John Collins, who missed the start of the year, the first month and a half or whatever, an injury. He's back, and he hitting threes. He looks solid.
I like Collins.
I think Alex Len has had a really nice resurgence this year in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And they have pieces like Dedmon. You have Kent Bazemore.
Jeremy Lin.
Yeah.
I don't think
they'll trade Vince Carter, but Vince Carter, there might be a contender who wants to bring Vince
Carter.
Get
it to Toronto. Come on, please. It has to end
Make
there.
Make it happen.
Has to end there.
But I'm okay with where they are.
Or the Nets.
I wouldn't mind that either.
I do want to say, though, guys, Trae Young is phenomenal.
What was the over-under? 7 years?
I said six. I think I said six.
Oh, six. Okay, it's definitely five.
He's gonna be in the NBA long term. I'll admit that. But this is, I don't see superstar. I see a very serviceable point guard with incredible range and actually an above average playmaker. I was wrong on the playmaker.
He's an insane playmaker.
But
that's shooting probably his best skill.
Yes.
And that's why I think, you know, you look at guys like what he could be in terms of like a sharp shooting, like Jamal Crawford, Lou Williams. I think he's better than that because he can pass. And if you are, you know, a capable passer, I think that elevates you above those sort of bench sort of guard pieces.
Right. And actually, you know what's crazy about him? Watching him play, I feel like he shoots 35-foot jump shots better than he shoots any other jump shot.
That's fair. That's fair.
I would like to see the stats. I remember you pulled them up for Spencer not that long
ago. I think, yeah, he was one of the... He was in that range. Like, he was...
The farther back he is, the better he is.
Yeah, almost. Like, in terms of, like, he's... I think he's, like less than 30% on the season. But he's been better of late. I think, listening to some podcasts, he's been 38% over the last couple of games. So, I think it's going to be a process for him. Right. He's not going to be Damian Lillard. He's not going to be Stephen Curry. But he's going to be a good player. The ceiling...
Kemba Walker?
Maybe. I think he's a better passer than Kemba Walker.
Yeah, but Kemba's probably more shifty. He's able to create more separation.
That's why these comparisons are so hard, because I think Trae Young is a unique player and a unique beast. He has a lot of skill sets of these guys we're talking about, but that's what I think I find so intriguing about him. What is he going to be as a passer? What is he going to be as a scorer? Is he going to be a number one guy, or is he going to be a 1A, 1A, 1B?
He's got unique hair, too.
Right. He does. It's an odd haircut.
Unique style. He wore those shorts to the draft.
Yeah. Why not?
The one thing I do think about Trae Young is that, and I mentioned this is like one of my biggest issues with rookies, is his size.
Yeah, so defensively,
like,
he's in trouble.
Right. Who knows? I mean, Steph Curry, not that he's a big guy, Curry has put on a lot of muscle his career.
Curry is a lot stronger than you think. I remember reading an article a few years ago. They were doing deadlifts in the training facility, you know, in the offseason. Curry was one of the top guys on the team.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think for Trae, it would be, and you've mentioned this before, men hit like a second growth spurt in our middle 20s.
Yeah, they start to go out.
Right. So Trae Young would desperately need that second growth spurt. He's just a little, and I think that will help him if he gets more size.
He needs to get some like junkyard dog in him, like some of that like physical, like to really body on people to annoy them.
I mean, he's like slightly bigger than an Isaiah Thomas. He's slightly less than a Stephen Curry, Damian Lillard. It's not the sort of range you want to be in if you're going to be like one of the top point guards in the league. Yeah. You look at all the today's top point guards, they're 6'3 or above. Like, you know, I think Steph is 6'3, I think Lillard 6'4, 6'5. So I think it's better to have that size, or else you have to make up for it in other ways, which Trae can with his shooting and passing. It's just if that's going to be consistent enough to make up for his deficiencies.
It's like when you're thinking about building a championship team, you already think of like, all right, I have this mismatch with Trae Young. We're matching up with OKC.
Yeah.
Dude, Russell. What are we doing with Russell Westbrook?
Yeah.
All their players are pretty big. Or let's go, we're playing Golden State, or we're playing Boston. They have five guys that can dribble, drive, and shoot.
Yeah.
Okay, we can't hide him.
I mean, it's his first season. Right? Yeah. We should probably temper our sort of expectations.
This is in a future preview of the Hawks. But this is the bottom five teams. Now we're starting to get into some different territory. Next up on the list is the Wizards.
Sorry, Nick.
This is obviously deserving, I think.
The Wiz are trash. And I think if we got Nick on right now, I think he would be probably crying. he has struggled of late. It was his birthday the other day, and I think his birthday present was a John Wall long-term injury. And John Wall happens to be his favorite player as well. He's got like all his sweaters, he's got his kicks, but he's going to have to jump on the Bradley Beal and Thomas Satoransky bandwagon. The Wizards, I mean, everyone's advocating for this tank now, you know. Go down that route, sort of get yourselves in the lottery or whatever. Bradley Beal's too good for that. Like, if you want to go down the tanking route, I don't think Enoch Grunfeld's going to want to do that. Scott Brooks is going to want to do that because it's going to affect his job status. So I think the Wizards are in this real meddling sort of NBA purgatory right now. They have playoff talent. Thomas Bryant, I like. You know, Dwight Howard, I think he's still out with his injury. So, I mean, they've got... And then they add Trevor Ariza. I think they should move Ariza more than they should move Beal, personally. That deal made absolutely no sense to me whatsoever. But Beal to the Lakers is growing traction. I think Beal to the Sixers, I heard someone mention this, he would be perfect there, but obviously
how would that work?
I mean, it would have been pre-Jimmy Butler.
Oh, okay.
That would have been...
Butler. We can make the worst locker room in the NBA.
Oh, man. Butler for Beal. I mean, it would just destroy the NBA. But, I mean, the Wizards are what they are. I don't want to say too many bad things because I'm recording with Nick later. I don't want to get in too bad of a mood about the Wizards.
And it was his birthday. We want to keep the...
Somewhat positive as you can be about a Washington Wizards
The Wall injury is concerning, though. Yeah, the heel. I mean, I know it's something to kind of fix something that's already messed up, but now he's getting multiple surgery in multiple years. He's going to, make 37 next year?
We were chatting about this at the Nets game. In terms of, like, you know, Russell Westbrook gets injured every season, whether it's preseason or during the season. But he comes back as athletic and, like, he might have lost a minor step, but he has that ferocity and that aerobic capacity and that athleticism.
He never looks stiff.
No, and I think John Wall, I remember doing, like, the player ranking, one of our first player rankings with Corey, and we sort of mentioned that John Wall's one of those guys who we expect to rise because he was in that Kyrie Irving category, who's better. I'm an optimist when it comes to the Wizards, not as much as Nick is when he predicted them to finish second in the frickin' East.
I think I was really high on them too, though.
Yeah, you were, and I was really the, like the realist,
the pessimist.
Yeah,
well, the realist actually. Yeah, the realist is more accurate.
I was like Dwight Howard. This culture. This is like, I think culture is something that people always say doesn't matter, but it really does.
Doesn't Washington?
Yeah,
I think it definitely matters. For me, what I was looking at, just to cover my own ass, was the fact that I thought this team was going to be healthy. This team has not been healthy. We have to give them, that's the one thing we can say, is this team has not ever been fully healthy this season. Or maybe for like one game we had Dwight.
I will say, though, that some of the concern when you bring in certain players
is health.
Dwight
yeah.
hasn't been healthy injury since he left Orlando.
Yeah.
John Wall, we just said it, you know, multiple years. Now, do you guys think that they, Jack, you kind of touched on it, the tanking route. Do you think they should just trade Beal, trade Otto Porter, kind of bring in a young, nice draft pick for next year, and then maybe pick up a couple retool in the offseason?
I mean, I wouldn't, because I think that they could maybe go down a Memphis Grizzlies sort of route where they should tank and, you know, fire Scott Brooks, because I don't think he's the coach for the future.
He's such a bad coach.
And, I mean, Ernie Grunfeld wants to save his own ass as well. But if you can add Zion with John Wall, Bradley Beal, that's pretty nice.
Yeah.
So, like, I think that they need to, like, somehow get some guy to, like, bash, like, Bradley Beal's ankle or something, but not make it too serious so he can stay out the rest of the season.
Just an allergic reaction to something.
And, I mean, you look at the Grizzlies have a future because they got Jaren Jackson in the draft. If the Wizards were to get a top five pick, being Nasir Little, RJ Barrett, whoever it might be, then they're going to prolong their window, so to speak, because they have a cost-controlled, young, superstar potential talent.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I... Personally, it's really hard for me on the Beal factor. Because if I'm the Wizards, I don't want to move Beal.
Hey,
I want to move I want to move Wall and Porter.
Yeah.
And you can't move Wall now.
Right, you can't move Wall now.
Can't move Porter.
$37 million next year. I think his last year was like $44 million,
46,
right?
I think. 47, something like that.
Like, that is so bad. Nick's covering his face. But, you know, I think it's got to be a fire sale, as you guys mentioned. I mean, I think I would try and move Porter Jr. before anybody.
Yeah.
And then I would look for Beal. Because we mentioned this before, I think the Lakers are a team that at some point in time before the trade deadline, they're going to go after Beal.
Okay.
Because that kind of 3-point shooter, which is kind of, you know, that's why they've been tied to Klay Thompson, is because that's what LeBron really has never had. He's never had a lockdown, knockdown shooter. Ray Allen at the back end of his career,
which
Kyle
is,
Korver at 37, 38. And those guys still had really good years alongside LeBron. Imagine a prime Beal or a prime Thompson next to LeBron. Those guys would probably flourish. Realistically. So.
I think one of you guys mentioned this on Twitter. The fact that Beal hasn't demanded a trade yet, his value is still very high, where I think you have to try to sneak a trade. Like the Lakers, like if you're getting in Brandon Ingram, it might make sense. There's still development there. There's some potential
there. You got to get some heart, or at least
I like Josh Hart there too as well, because that keeps you in not the full tank. It's like the retool. Where you're a young development year, you're going to get a top 10 pick probably. You're not going to get the full tank mode though.
And those guys don't have egos yet.
And I don't know.
That's good with
Kuzma does.
Ingram,
you think Ingram does?
I think Kuzma does.
No. I meant between Hart and Ingram. Ingram does. He has that, like,
this low key, like,
Hart is very lovable.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a big
Hart is just like, he just goes to work.
I love when he, like, got the M1 player and then he just flexed in front of the camera and just smiled.
I love this.
It was really cute. I really like that. But I mean, he does. I don't think Washington can afford to tank. These sort of middle tier, sort of lower market, whatever you want to call them, teams, they just don't have the attention span when it comes to, like, you know, the Capitals. They're competing with so many other teams. They're like maybe the fourth most popular team. I don't know enough about American sports, but I know that their ticket sales suck. And
they're always empty.
And that's what I mean. Like, you know, I've seen a game there before against the Pacers, which was a really entertaining, close game. But, like, you know, you can't afford that. In terms of TV market, all these sort of things. There are some teams that can. You know, you look at the Knicks, you look at the Lakers. These teams have the embedded fan base. And, like, until you have that success, you can't afford to lose those little fans that you do have.
And the issue is, too, this Wizards team, in the last, like, what, 2-3 years, they've done a lot more talking than their play has backed up, which doesn't help you keep fans.
And I brought this up before. I honestly don't think that John Wall and Bradley Beal are ever going to win anything significant. Like, I don't think a lot of people say the chemistry. I don't think it's necessarily the chemistry. I think it's actually, like, style fit.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
They just don't play well together, and that's nothing against them as friends or people or whatever.
Yeah.
I just don't think they play well. And now the Wall injury, I think, just ruined their season. They're 3.5 out of the 8 seed. But I wouldn't pick them to get.
Are they too low? Like, I think that they're better than some teams that we'll get to. I think that they're better than the next team.
The Magic, I probably would move them one spot up, but yes. It's not like I'm throwing them two or three spots up.
I think I would maybe have them tied with the Magic.
Yeah. And honestly, I mean, they're pretty... Actually, in terms of like when we did our averages for it, they are 0.09 off where the Magic are in terms of averages. So they are bloody close. So, I mean, if you want to call it a tie, I mean, 0.09 of anything is pretty darn close.
Yeah. 25th in net rating.
Yeah, they're not great.
So I think they're probably, you know, they're right on... Like, if you ask me who has a better chance of making Orlando or Washington...
Say Orlando.
I'm saying Orlando.
Yeah,
you...
Yeah.
That's weird. If you asked me that 2 months ago, I'd laugh at you. I wouldn't even answer you. I'd just laugh at you.
Yeah. Well, moving to Orlando, they've struggled. Similar to Phoenix, except they have better players around. The point guard is still an issue there.
They provide, like, they're so tantalizing at the start of a season. They always start a season well. New coach, new system, new draft picks, all this sort of thing. And then it's just like, oh, yeah, we actually are the Orlando Magic. We can't fit all this together. And I think that they have all these pieces on paper that make a lot of sense individually, but don't make a whole bunch of sense cohesively.
Roster construction is just bad.
It's just bad. And I think DJ Augustine, I think it, like the fact that he is still, you know, playing capable basketball speaks volumes to him. And the fact that, like, I know Gordon, Isaac, and Barber, those are your three guys of your future. Vucevic...
I feel like an all-star type season.
Fantastic.
I think you sell high on him. You're not going to pay $20 million per or more for him going forward because you have Mo Bamba and Jonathan Isaac on your roster. You're investing in those guys. Or you're going to sell low on those two young pieces. It doesn't make sense in terms of roster construction. Maybe they shouldn't have drafted Mo Bamba in the first place, but Vucevic's form right now, you know, you put him in LA, the Lakers, you know, in terms of some sort of package for, you know, Ingram and Lonzo. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out.
In hindsight, it would have made a ton of sense to move up for Luka.
Not even Luka, even Trey.
Yeah, there was a lot of...
Trey buzz was really real for them.
But they moved up to get Trey, so they didn't really have the opportunity to get him.
Yeah, I mean, I would have gone for Trey if I were there.
That was the major connection, was Trey to Orlando prior to the draft. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, you know, they're like a fluky magician. Like, you...
Orlando Magic.
And, yes, that was my pun. the beginning of the year, they show you these tricks. You're like, oh, shit, this might be a good team. And then you're like, oh, wait, it's just smoke and mirrors.
They're a team that right now, if they continue to descend in the rankings and descend in the standings, they've got guys as well, like I mentioned, Vucevic. They've also got Terrence Ross, who I think could be really valuable to a lot of teams.
Jonathan Simmons, another guy.
Yes.
Even though his offensive numbers are bad, he's still a good defensive. He's still a solid role player. Yeah. Right. And DJ Augustine?
Yeah.
If someone really wants to... I mean, he's having career year.
Yeah.
Vucevic, you mentioned Vucevic. Yeah. There is not a team in the league that I see that needs Vucevic, though. Where does he fit?
That's because it's the big man dilemma in terms of, like, we were chatting earlier about in terms of the six man of the year race. Half of them are big men, but half of those guys aren't going to impact winning basketball. Whereas I think Vucevic could maybe on the Lakers in a similar... If he were to have, like, a Brook Lopez sort of role, where it's just like, you jack threes for us? Like, we want you to just stretch the floor.
But I feel like that takes away his game a little bit because...
It does to an extent, but I think Brook Lopez was a post player his entire career. Right. I mean, you know more than any, Nick. And, like, Kenny Atkinson just revolutionized him. I think you need to experiment in certain ways if a team were to move for him. But again, at the end of the year, he's going to get a payday from someone in terms of where. But I agree with you, Corey. It's hard to find a fit for a lot of these big guys.
Looking at like the top of the list, like who from the top would really want to make a move for Vucevic?
I wouldn't hate him on the Celtics.
That's actually trade deadline marathon rumor might be popping up a trade for him to Boston. Yeah,
I mean, I'm predicting it already. I'm just so in sync with that OGG star.
I mean,
Celtics is only one because they could hide him the best defensively.
Yeah, I mean,
like they got Greg Monroe last year, and not saying you know Vucevic is better, but
you know where he'd be really good if he was like in terms of the role that I was sort of talking about, the Rockets as a backup to Clint Capella.
Do you know where I think he'd be decent? Hornets. Charlotte.
Yeah, there's been ties there.
That's true.
I mean, Cody Zeller's, he's not anything special offensively.
Yeah.
He would actually give them like a solid number two option.
Give him Frank Kaminsky.
Yeah, I know.
Did you see the rumor yesterday?
The Batum thing.
They're going to use Frank as a sweetener for a Batum trade.
This isn't Frank Kaminsky pre-draft where like...
I was never high on Frank. He can't play defense.
Yeah, he's pretty...
So dorky.
He's like stiff. Yeah. Like, just... whatever.
We'll get to the Hornets.
So I think we all agree Orlando's pretty solid where they're at. Yeah. They should probably look to move some of the vets on the team and just move forward. But they're not going to, I don't think. I think they're like too inclined to try to make the playoffs because they've been bad for so long. Yeah. That's the vibe that I'm getting, especially with the Steve Clifford hiring.
Yeah.
That's what I was about to say. The Steve Clifford MO is I'm not going to play a lot of rookies. I'm going to play my vets and try and win. And that's literally, Mo Bamba's only playing like 20 minutes a game.
He's like, has so much tantalizing upside. Him and Mitch Robinson, I love them.
Jonathan Isaac.
And Jonathan Isaac really as well. Good. I think I would love, if we could make for a trade for Jonathan Isaac, Nick, I mean, we're going to get to the Nets soon enough. But he would just be so nice.
I've seen fans mention it out there. Yeah. But talking Nets, extremely low on this list.
Way low for me.
Wait.
I
had them pretty low.
We have the Nets coming in at number 23. I had to double check like 6 times because over the last 14 games, they're 11-3.
Second best in the league.
Second best in the league. East.
Yeah. So behind the Rockets.
They've been playing great. They've beaten a lot of good teams. They've beaten the Raptors. They beat the Lakers with LeBron. They've just beat Memphis in Memphis. There's just plenty of wins. I think they're personally too low. Obviously, I'm a Nets fan. Check out the Brooklyn Buzz. But I'll let you guys dive in first before I go on a rant.
I had them 22nd. I'm always the eternal pessimist when it comes to my own teams and no matter what sport I follow, just because I don't want to be too optimistic about them and then be, you know, upset. It's a life motto. You know, you have low expectations and then be surprised. So, but there are a lot of writers here who had them in that sort of range. But at the same time, you know, I can see where people are sort of coming from. You know, we had these votes out at the start of the week. The Nets had come off their winning streak.
They were they were still, like, hot, though.
They were, but I think these
votes... They're still a narrative.
Yeah, these votes are emblematic of what the Nets are as an organization. They don't get, like, a heap of respect. They've got a lot of nice guys in our roster. They are deep as hell, and they are in the 8th seed right now. They are in the 8th seed. So if you're going by law of averages, you know, they're 19 and 21, then they should be around that 15 to 20 range. But at the same time, you know, what is their ceiling this season? It's not overly high, but at the same time, they're better.
Argue it's higher, though, if they get Caris LeVert back.
It is, but I meant, like,
yeah,
right now. Caris LeVert back healthy, I mean, who knows what could happen with... If you have D'Angelo, Spencer, and Caris at the same time, I mean, they've already experimented. We were talking about on the Buzz and in our Periscopes about those three-guard lineups. Three-guard lineups with Caris LeVert, who has size and defensive acumen, replace that with Shabazz Napier. Man, that's going to be intriguing. I can't think of a hypey enough adjective.
I like... sorry, I'll let you go real quick, Corey, but yeah. I like the fact that you have guys... Jared Allen's going to get better this season. D'Angelo Russell's improving. Spencer's even improving a little bit. Your guy, Joe Harris, has been arguably the best role player in the entire NBA this season if you're looking at what his role is.
Three-point contest, ladies and gentlemen.
Gotta plug it.
Rodion Krudz. Crazy. 40th overall pick of the draft. He's starting on the Nets, having a good impact. Just had a dunk on Jaren Jackson. But, Corey, give him your spiel before.
Well, I just want to know, where do you have... You have the Nets 22nd.
Yes,
where do you
have them? So, if I'm looking at this list, I have them above the Pistons. I have them above the Timberwolves. I have them above the Pelicans. I probably have them above the Hornets and right around the same level as the Mavs. The Mavs have been struggling lately, so you can make the
art. Late Nets. Teens, early 20s.
Yeah, I would probably have them in the top 20 for sure.
Okay. So, I have them 18th.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think this is a top 20 team, especially after this last stretch. I mean, obviously, if
keyword mean, team,
right? Exactly, and that's something like for me. I'm a Pacers fan. It's like I enjoy team basketball. Teams that have to play as a unit.
We've
to win
compared
basketball.
Them often on the Buzz. I have as well.
And this Nets, obviously, some people may have made this. I don't know. This they've been in this win streak since we put out the rankings, so everyone knew the Nets were on this hot streak.
Yep.
And you just look at some of the teams. Like they beat the Pelicans just now. You guys were both at that game, of course. And they, I think, you know. People may think, you know, Pelicans have Anthony Davis. Oh, they got to be better than the Nets.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Jazz have Donovan Mitchell. Oh, they got to be better than the Nets.
Yeah.
Luka Doncic have the Mets. Oh, they got... And that's, you know, look at the recent play. I mean, the Nets are beating good teams. And even when they were losing games, as you guys have mentioned, they were losing close, tight games.
Yep.
They really haven't been getting blown out at any stretch of this last...
In games they were getting blown out, they almost come back and not maybe win, but at least get it, put pressure on the other team.
Yeah, now they're in the playoff, or they're, you know, they're racking as a playoff seed right now.
Yeah, they're technically eighth right now if the playoffs started today.
And you can make an argument that this team can even take a step further because they're not even, they don't even have their best player. Yeah. Caris LeVert isn't on the floor right
now. Yeah, I know. It's pretty, like, stunning. And I think, to an extent, not to say that it's a blessing in disguise, but it has benefited D'Angelo so much. Like, his play
Spencer
of late...
Spencer, too, I think.
And I think Spencer as well. But I think Spencer has bought into that six-man role. Yeah. And, like, again, I haven't mentioned it on the outlet before, so I'll say it again. I predicted him as a six-man of the year contender in September.
Yeah.
But I think D'Angelo right now is playing probably the best basketball of his career. And I think his consistency, and I think the floor he's starting to bridge between his ceiling, which we've mentioned at length on the Buzz, but seeing him live as well, and some of those passes, like, he is becoming an elite passer.
He's a lot smoother in person than
him. Oh, man, he's so smooth.
Just silky. Just everything is just like, oh, yeah, I'm not trying, bro.
Yeah. Yeah. Need to get one of those dry fit tees soon enough. Yeah. Take me to my Dells after this one.
But yeah, pretty much you guys nailed it. I think the Nets deserve to be higher. They're a top 20 team in my eyes. Team basketball, offensively, they play a great style. Offensive rating, they've been around top 15 to top 10 all year.
Yeah.
During this latest stretch, three-point shooting has just been dangerous. They're getting guys healthy. We didn't even mention Damari Carroll, who's playing great lately.
Yeah, last 5 games.
And just there's a lot of good players on this basketball team that Kenny Atkinson has a lot of options. Not even fully healthy. No Allen Crabbe, no Rondé, no Caris LeVert. Trevion Graham just played his first game last night. There's tools on this team for them to really be good in the regular season. Come playoff time, different story. But right now, I think they're a better overall team than at least 10 teams in the NBA.
Yeah. Their depth is very good.
Yeah.
I remember watching, I happened on the Brooklyn Buzz the other day, and we watched, they played the Bucks.
Yeah.
And it was the game that Shabazz had like 30 off the bench.
They rested D-Lo, they rested Ed Davis, and they had three guys injured.
And they almost lost the game. They came back, and they had a close game. And that's something, too, like not a lot of teams, you know, that we've mentioned, at least the teams underneath them, their depth is terrible. And even some of the teams above the Nets, they don't have the kind of depth.
Pelicans. We saw firsthand. As soon as they put that bench unit in, game was
55-5 in terms of bench units.
Was that really that was the bench difference?
Yeah.
That's
disgusting.
They had five.
Who had the five?
I think it was like
Me if it's Okafor.
He might have scored, did he?
No, I don't think Okafor played that game.
No, I didn't.
I know you said like Solomon Hill didn't even take a shot.
Yeah.
I think Frank Jackson might have scored once, and I think
Tim Frazier might have scored once. He was in decent minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, terrible. And looking at teams above them, they have more depth than the Pistons. Probably the Timberwolves is close. The Mavericks, Hornets. The Hornets are really tough right now.
I would call the Nets right now a poor-ish version of the Clippers and a poor man's Pacers, because they're similar in the way that they have incredible depth, but they don't have, well, I mean, the Pacers have their superstar, but the Nets have budding sort of stars, and like, you know, Jared Allen, you know, thank you, next. Who's going to be next on the list? You know, watch out, because he is a walking highlight. And he's dunking with ferocity now, ladies and gentlemen. So defenders be aware.
He got
as well.
Bored blocking out superstars. So.
Yeah, he wants to start dunking now.
And for that person that told me he couldn't block KP, we'll see soon enough.
Yeah, don't worry about that. Don't worry about that.
But so we all agree the Nets are too low here. They should probably be up a little bit more, especially off recent play. Obviously, it could change real quick. But on to the next team, Detroit Pistons, a team that's really been struggling of late. Dropping, I think they just dropped out of the playoff race. That's where the Nets just jumped.
Yeah, I mean, Blake Griffin might be spending a bit too much time on the iPads arguing with the referees, but
that was funny.
That was funny. I've never seen that before.
I mean, I don't think it's Blake's problem necessarily. I think we sort of talk about depth when it comes to these sort of fringe playoff teams, and they lack that. They need a sort of, you know, these guys like Luke Kennard and Jackson sort of to really step up because, you know, Blake Griffin, despite maybe having a career year or near a career year, you can't rely on Blake Griffin alone to drag you to a playoffs. He's not a, you know, a Stephen Curry, a LeBron James, and Anthony Harden, Davis, James Harden. He can't drag you by himself. Andre Drummond, we just had a really nice piece by Jorge Cantu in the Mythbusters series in terms of analyzing his defense. I don't think he's one of the best sort of empty numbers guys in the NBA. He's a great rebounder, but I don't value what he brings to a team. And, you know, if I was to have a center, I would prefer to have guys who might be less talented offensively, like maybe like a Miles Turner or a Jared Allen, but they can impact defensively, because that's what I want my center to do. So, I mean, the Pistons are what they are. I mean, I think that they're going to be in a nice little battle for that 6-8 seed with the Hornets and with the Nets. I think that's going to be fun to watch. And I think if you have Blake performing and having some of his stud nights, like he was in the MVP conversation the first couple of weeks.
He scored that 50 against Boston.
It was insane what he was doing, and I think he can get that back. So it'll be interesting to see how the last half of the season goes with them.
I mean, Blake Griffin's numbers, even still, even though he's come back down earth a little bit, they're still phenomenal. The shooting splits, I mean, he's hitting pull-up threes.
Yeah. Consistently. He's, right. Like, you need to guard him at the
exactly.
line.
You can't sag off him anymore. Yeah. And you make a great point about Andre Drummond. I don't think Andre Drummond can be your second-best player in your team.
No.
To win a title.
I think he can be your fourth. I think that's, like, his...
Right. Maybe third if you have two really good...
stars, Chris Paul and James Harden
exactly.
at their best. Yeah.
So, like, that's a big issue for them. And not... I mean, really, the issue for me with Pistons... I mean, you mentioned the bench. The bench is... it's dreadful. Mm-hmm. There's just no offense.
Yeah.
Reggie Jackson is an absolute shell of himself.
He is.
He is nothing like the guy he was his first year in Detroit or that OK the last
six
year
man.
In Detroit. He was averaging 20-10 after.
He was phenomenal.
Yeah. He was great.
It looked like it was like wow, this guy, you know, I wish OKC kept him.
Mm-hmm.
Almost was kind of like the narrative.
Yeah.
And, you know,
almost a net.
Yeah.
And his shoes, but I think he was like 38 and 32. Like, they're not good. And
it's
kind of the issue we talked about with like the Suns and the Magic. You can't win at a high clip without a good point guard.
I almost think that like Ish Smith adds as much, if not equal value, to a guy like Reggie Jackson.
But Van Gundy played him in clutch time last
year. More.
Yeah.
Way more.
So, I mean, that's just maybe a bit of a hyperbole, but that's just me.
And Jackson's been healthy this year. I don't think he's missed time.
Does he have the John Wall syndrome where it's like he's playing through injury?
Well, his knee tendonitis, Nick has meant knee tendonitis doesn't go away.
No, yeah.
Okay. Especially if you're an NBA player.
Right. Yeah, yeah. So you're always going to have it. So I'm sure he's not like 110%, but he's got to be...
It's probably gradually getting worse. Like, his health is... like, he doesn't look as explosive. You know, tendonitis, less training, less performance in the offseason.
Yeah.
I think their depth, their overall team, Blake has been amazing. Everybody else, Andre Drummond's been okay.
You know who's a huge flop? Glenn Robinson III.
Yeah.
Absolute flop.
Another injury.
My whole team is going to be flopped.
I was high on him. Our guy, Lass Jackson, on the Detroit Pistons preview pod, high on him. We thought he was going
to
be the guy.
Another injury thing, though, I think, as well. I think health is so important to any teams in the NBA, and if you're not healthy and you don't have the depth, then you're going to suffer. Whereas the Nets have gone through some injuries, and not to just keep comparing to the Nets.
Performance team shout-out,
too. Even Clippers, even Pacers. Pacers had Oladipo out for an extended period, and yet they played just as well, if not better, without him. So if you have the depth at your disposal, I mean, the regular season is where it counts the most. So you want to set yourself up for a nice push, and then you can sort of shorten the rotation. But, you know, depth should not be underrated in today's NBA.
100%. Especially, even with them changing the schedule, you're still sometimes playing three games in four nights.
Yeah.
There's nothing you can really
do. And this
is
going to be a team, I think it's going to be desperately looking to make a move.
I would almost guarantee they'll make a trade at the deadline, because they're not going to tank. They have Blake's contract.
Oh, yeah. So they're doing something.
They're going to do something. They were a candidate for that John Wall contract, but that's not going to happen now. Who maybe knows? Otto Porter possibility.
Yeah, Damari Carroll. These sort of wingy sort of types. We'll have to wait and see.
They need something. They need probably more than they can afford. That's going to be the problem for
that's
them.
That's true.
Definitely.
Minnesota Timberwolves, though, another team in the West, had a hot streak a little bit after the Jimmy Butler trade.
Now, injuries.
Yeah, and just not a great vibe over there.
Yeah, I mean, you have the sort of... It's like sort of... The Jimmy Butler leaving is sort of like when a team fires a coach and gets that sort of spark.
Yeah.
And you sort of want to play, you know, you sort of want to make a point. That was sort of what was happening. I think Karl Anthony Towns is having a very underrated good season. He is tremendously talented, and I think
Post-Butler.
I mean, post-Butler, obviously, we were going to see that. But he has been good to above average, or above average to good defensively as well. Mm-hmm. And I think that's probably not been spoken enough about, but I guess that's what happens when your team suffers. But I love Robert Covington, but he's injured. Dario Saric... It's almost like that both teams have gotten worse after the trade.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, they had that little bump. The Sixers had that little bump where Jimmy Butler hit a few...
Game winners, yeah. Game winners. It felt like everything was changing.
And then it's just like, well, what do the Sixers need right now? They probably need Robert Covington and Dario Saric on their team. And what do the Timberwolves need right now? If they want to make the playoffs, they need another star. But Andrew Wiggins, I think, is probably the number one thing going forward for this Timberwolves team. What is he? I know Corey's mentioned before that, like, he at times it looks like a star, but at times it looks like he doesn't belong in this league. I mean, it's a bit of a hot take, but at the same time, when you're forgetting your jersey to an NBA game, like, come on, bro. Like, that's the number one thing. You put on a jersey, you tuck it into your shorts.
Wait, you didn't see this?
What the fuck?
He came in at halftime and he took off his warm-up. He didn't have his jersey on.
Are you shitting me?
I don't even know why you take your jersey off.
I mean, Andrew Wiggins at his best is like, you know, Maple Jordan. That's the nickname. I think that is, you know, way too high of a compliment for a guy who has shown essentially nothing in his short NBA career so far. And
his best year was his rookie year, probably.
And I think as well, unless he develops into what he has in terms of his talent, in terms of being a decent three-point shooter and having the athletic ability to be a really good defender, then this contract could be like, you know, similar to like an Otto Porter sort of type, where it's like a shitty contract and no one's really going to want that, despite the fact that he has all this tantalizing upside.
The Wiggins contract, what is it, Nick?
So we got 25 at this year, 25 next year, 27, and then 29, and then 31 in 2022.
I mean, if you're projecting, like, but Andrew Wiggins has to get better. Like, surely.
Has he gotten better is the real question over the last 2 years.
No. He's honestly...
He's had these slight jumps, and then it feels like he gets back to where he was at.
Yeah, he does.
He might, like... It's almost like he's taking three steps forward, four steps back.
He's the shitty boyfriend of the NBA, where he like does just enough for you to like, you know, want to like stay with him and like be a fan of him.
I've given up on Andrew Wiggins. I've already said that. I even like low key subliminally did him last year, and I said that he's probably a salary dump moving forward.
Taking apart contracts, I think this is a decent enough comparison. Who would you rather have going forward in terms of Ingram and Wiggins? Like, they're both similar.
Ingram. I would have Ingram.
Okay, fair.
Playmaking. Also, Ingram looks like he gives a fuck.
Yeah, that's
Wiggins
true.
Does not look like he cares often.
Yeah.
And actually,
Ingram can pass, too.
Yes.
Underrated. Yeah, I like his playmaking. And
Wiggins probably averages, like, 2 assists on his career.
I mean, but at the same time, he has the potential. And we saw last season when he was running the floor quite a bit. I think as well, despite the jersey thing, when he was taking that shot at the free throw line, the memes went crazy, where, like, he was shooting the free throw to tie or win the game, and then he just closed his eyes, and it's just like, that sums up Andrew Wiggins' career in a nutshell. And for those that haven't seen it, you know, check it out. We've probably got an OTG basketball somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, so I'm thinking about, like, Wiggins. Like, I was a fan of Wiggins when he played at Kansas.
Oh, yeah. He can't not be.
And honestly, though, if you look at how he was in Kansas, very similar to how he is now. What I mean by that is he would have a phenomenal game. The next game, he'd have 4 points. He'd be like, where the hell are you?
Yeah, yeah.
And even this year, I mean, just the other night against the Celtics, I want to say.
Yeah.
He had over 30 points.
Yeah.
Towns only had 4 points at halftime. He finished with like 33. And you think, okay, in these kind of instances, that's what you want to see.
Yes.
But there's too many nights where you forget Wiggins is even on the team almost.
Well, look at it this way. Wiggins has already played 5 years in the NBA. He's still only 23 years old, so there is still potential for growth.
I give him 25. That's like my window.
I think at that point, that's when you're like, okay, what are we going to do here?
Right.
And I think that the frustration with him is the fact is he has the tools to be an elite defender, like a lockdown defender with his athleticism. He's never done that.
Right.
Yeah, and he's not even the best Canadian player in the NBA anymore. I mean, that goes to Jamal Murray. You could make an argument that Tristan Thompson is a more effective NBA player, at least this season, you know, with the whole Chloe drama somewhat behind him. But he is at least rebounding like a monster, and is probably the Cavs' best player.
I mean, he's had great performances in the finals.
He has. Yeah.
Andrew Wiggins is never going to have that.
Yeah, no. So, I mean,
at least not the current trajectory.
At least let me knock on wood so I don't listen.
At the end of his career on his resume, third best Canadian player in the NBA. Not the best sort of, you know,
that might not last long either, because what, R.J. Barrett?
R.J. Barrett. Man, I love R.J. Barrett.
Fourth best. Yeah. Let's go with fourth best. As long as he's in the top five.
He'll be top five.
Top five.
Don't sleep on Canadian development. Drake's investing money. No,
Steve Nash, baby. Steve Nash.
That too. So
aside from Wiggins, though, I will say
Jeff Teague is an issue there as well. I know.
Can't shoot.
Everybody's can't really shoot. Hating
he
him.
Has been, like,
honestly,
the fall has been tremendous.
The biggest, we mentioned this, I think, before they signed Jeff Teague, is I was really high on this team going after Kyle Lowry.
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
Kyle Lowry would have been the perfect kind of veteran leadership to have.
Tibbs would love him as well.
Yeah, gritty. You look at the other guys on the team. Like,
he would balance with Butler a little bit too, having like a real leader.
Someone who's really tough. So Butler, all right, look at it. We're going to set the tone, both of us. Instead of Butler being the only guy who's an asshole, you can have two guys who are tough.
Yeah.
And also,
two assholes, so it's better than one.
We have to give a mention to
Tyus Jones.
What?
Tyus Jones.
He's been solid. I'm thinking just Derrick Rose in general.
Yeah, good point.
Not that we're not going to talk about the off the court shit. That's different. You can hate Derrick Rose the person.
Yes, you can.
On the floor, he has been arguably sixth man of the year.
He hasn't been an all star like he's been voted now. I mean, we should like, and I mean, we could chat about this for an entire episode. But like, fans are stupid. Not the OTG listeners and the people that are listening to this player ranking podcast right now, but fans in general. Like, if you like, and because it's been made so much more difficult to vote, like you have to go to like Google and type their name.
I went to go vote and I was like,
I haven't voted yet.
Because of the process, I was like, nah, I'll wait.
I'm gonna do it live on JBT tomorrow, just to make it a bit more fun and stuff. But Derrick Rose, if he is in the All-Star game this season, it is a travesty, and it shows the system. And one of the reasons why I'm somewhat passionate about it is because when you go back and look at a player's accolades, you look at how many All-Star appearances they've had. That affects their legacy going forward. And we know that Derrick Rose at his peak was one of, you know, was probably like Russell Westbrook-ish in terms of, you know, how much he impacted
the
NBA.
Youngest MVP ever.
Youngest MVP ever, you know, the only one to take one off LeBron in that sort of period as well. So Derrick Rose deserves plenty of on-court credit, but the fans need to, like, wake up, man. Like, seriously, James Harden has less votes than him, and I'm sure that will happen over the next few weeks. Hopefully.
Dude,
listeners.
At this point, the NBA has to consider getting rid of fan voting or even lessering it down to 25% and having the media.
Yes, I think that makes sense. See, I think that makes sense.
And this is like a...
Or you need a ticket stub to a game to vote. But like,
they say the All-Star game is for the fans, but it's for the like the Diddy fans and the guys...
It affects contracts way too much for it.
It does. It does.
This is my one issue, though, with if we're going to talk about the Derrick Rose votes...
I agree with Dwayne Wade not getting votes either.
I agree with that.
I want the good players getting in. I don't care about
what I think, though. I think someone mentioned this. It might have been Nigel, actually. But there should be like a like a grandfather's thing? If, like, it's your final
season. Yeah, yeah.
People have brought this up. You get one player from each conference
that's retiring.
Yeah, or just, like,
Durkin,
the fan favorite person.
Right, because, like, honestly, I would like to see Dirk and Wade maybe not even play.
Vince Carter as well.
Or just get a chance to sit on, you know, make their last All-Star game.
Yeah.
He from 40.
And I think that Adam Silver is a commissioner that is open to these sort of changes. So I think
that's commissioner in all of our sports.
I mean,
100%.
I mean,
handles everything with a great deal of class.
We'll have to see how it all plays out. I mean, they've already changed the captains this season are going to be it's going to be televised.
Yes,
this will be fun. Thank God. You know, the All-Star game is going to be.
I hope they just like pick the worst players first.
I mean,
that's what they.
I mean,
do.
You honestly want Joel Embiid as the captain, or like I think J.E. Skeets from the Starters is like, you know, if fans really want to stick it to Kawhi Leonard, they should vote him with the most votes.
I want Kevin Durant to be the other captain because he's just like so cringy this year. It'll be just
I like Kevin Durant more this season, but we'll get to the Warriors.
Back to the Timberwolves, actually, in terms of the ranking. I'll say this about Derrick Rose. He's having a great, efficient season. Timberwolves are not in the playoffs right now. They're not, like, it's not like he's directly
impacting
winning basketball.
Yep.
We were just talking about.
Yep.
I personally don't have Derrick Rose at the top. Like, I see what he does. His numbers are great, but I'm not sure how much he's like, all right, this guy's winning. He put up good numbers in New York for a little bit. Terrible season.
I think they're the same numbers. I think someone posted out.
Yeah, they're the same numbers.
Efficiency?
But what people left out was the fact that Derrick Rose is shooting 40% from three this year and not that.
The three-point shooting, I'll give him a lot of credit.
That deserves a heap of credit, yeah.
And honestly, I mean, just watching him run an offense, he just looks a lot more...
Comfortable.
He does look comfortable.
Yeah.
I don't remember that Knicks season because I didn't watch a lot of Knicks that season.
The super team, baby.
Yeah.
Where he didn't show up for
I
a
need
game.
To stop bad mouthing New York or else I'm not going to be let back here and you're going to have to let me sleep here the night, Nick.
Got
an
air mattress in the closet, Jack. But over the Timberwolves, you know, a struggling season, another team that's struggling, and they've made me look bad all season long. That's New Orleans.
Made Nick, the other Nick, the two Knicks are just on the same weather. When it comes
our
to
boy
team.
Jake looked bad too with a hot take marathon.
Oh, yeah.
So Pelicans. AD's been awesome. Jrue Holiday in person is probably one of the best off-ball defenders I've seen from the guard position.
He was so freaking good.
Yeah, I mean, it was a fun game, but we talked about their bench is absolutely terrible, and that's their problem right now, and that's why they're here in the rankings.
And injuries.
Alfred Payton, Nicole Mirotic.
If you have all those guys fit, they're top four, top three. They're one of the best teams in the NBA. But health and, like, I mean, there was a nice piece from Tom Haberstroh that was sort of analyzing how the organization as a whole has let Anthony Davis down. Because of the whole, I mean, and I don't know a heap about football compared to you guys, but it's essentially they're the same organizations as the New Orleans Saints. You've got all the training staff that's very similar. You've got the front office is Dell Demps. You've got all these guys that are incredibly similar. The ownership is for the same teams. And you can't have that. You need to have dedicated... you know, servicemen and people that, you know, look after specific, you know, it just doesn't, it bewilders me. And a lot of the times, you know, that affects, you know, you can't have a trainer for, you know, a football injury to be the same trainer as a guy from a basketball injury. They can't have the same expertise. So I think Davis, I think it's almost like, what percentage would you guys put on it that he is gone? Like 80? Higher, lower?
It's tough. He's definitely frustrated. He does a great job keeping it internal. The one thing that
he's very professional about.
Yeah, the one thing that he slipped, though, where he was like, I have to be perfect every night for us to win.
And
they
still can't.
Yeah, dude, we saw him, what, drop like
34 and 26. Theo Pinson was just like, what?
Three blocks, I too think.
Probably.
He's so...
I think he had a full stat sheet.
I told you earlier, Corey,
six to ten shots were... and maybe five other players in the
league. I haven't seen a lot of NBA games, having been to America probably six or seven times, but he's the best player I've ever seen live. Second best is Paul George. I haven't seen LeBron and that. But, like, he... and Corey and I were having this conversation about, like, is he, like, the most talented power forward center of all time?
Bill Simmons had mentioned on his podcast that he said the greatest power forward of all time was Anthony Davis. And I mentioned... I think it's a little bit premature.
Yeah. Talent-wise, yes.
That's what he said.
Trajectory-wise, yes.
It's also developing, and I still think there's some minor issues with Anthony Davis at points that he still needs to fix. He still has plenty of time, though. What,
he's 25?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous how good he's
going to
be.
He's been good for a long time in the league.
And he's going to get better.
He's never played with a true elite point guard. Rajon Rondo last year, obviously not in his
and
prime.
And we saw how that affected him. They, like, absolutely destroyed the Blazers.
Yeah.
It would be a fun duo, Dame and AD.
Oh, it'd be insane.
Because, like, they're both guys that are really, really good, but they haven't necessarily had great teams. Or a team like CJ's pretty good, Drew's pretty good, but they're both like
that would be the second best team, and that would right now would easily rival the Golden State Warriors because I think Damian Lillard is probably one of the best point guards just after Stephen Curry, and Anthony Davis is easily top
the best
five
big,
in the NBA.
Are we saying in that scenario it's like Lillard and Holiday and Davis.
No, I'm just saying
Neal and Holiday and Davis. Oh my God,
phenomenal.
Yeah, that's never going to happen. But it's a better chance of AD going to Portland than it is for AD.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
But in terms of, there are so many other problems outside of just, their like starting five is good. It's very good. Nikola Mirotic was having an outstanding like all-star worthy season in the first sort of 10 games or so. It's just,
even their sixth man being Julius Randle
has been tremendous.
And he has been good, but he is somewhat of a liability defensively.
Yeah, we saw him here.
We certainly did. But I think that they're a team we've sort of talked about in terms of depth and in terms of making moves. They need to make moves if they have any hope.
Traded their first round pick the last two seasons for a player.
And it's worked out well. I think that has worked out well for both parties. I think they need to do the same thing. I don't know who it's for. Otto Porter, but he's going to be the guy that comes up quite a bit. Yeah.
They need a wing. They need a guard.
It's another one of those teams, too, that they made the mistake when they had all that money to sign Solomon Hill, that deal, and he has not been worth
zero points, zero shots.
He's been bad. He's been really
and he
bad.
Dealt with an injury. What did he tear his Achilles? Was
hamstring.
That?
Oh, tore his hamstring,
which is maybe even worse than tearing his Achilles.
What was the percentage you guys gave? By the way, I got 80.
Yeah, I avoided the question.
I'm
making you guys say. If I say 80%,
I'm saying.
Am I talking about him being moved this year?
No,
or in the offseason?
You're saying him leaving in general?
Yeah, he's gone. Like,
oh, I'd say 100%.
Okay, cool.
I think, and this is not a shout. I know
a slight.
Westbrook made like a comment that small markets don't exist. They exist, all right? Is money. And the Pelicans are a small market. And realistically, he's going to come into the same thing that Paul George came into, whereas if you're not winning, you're just going to grow frustrated.
Yeah.
You're going to grow tired of it.
Yeah. And he said that he wants his legacy more than money.
Right.
I don't necessarily agree with that. I think get your money, AD.
I do think this, though, the small market, big market thing, I always thought this was a real thing. If I take less money and play in New York, or I take less money and I play in California, I'm going to make up the money in endorsement deals.
Yeah.
There's going to be 100 times more endorsement deals if I'm in New York City than if I'm playing in New Orleans.
Yeah,
well, that's
for sure.
LeBron, when he took that pay cut in Miami, he wasn't losing that much money.
But
LeBron
has a lifetime $1 billion contract with Nike. And AD's that
kind of player. He can be in the right market.
But at the same time, I don't think he has, and this is, might be a little bit of slight, I don't think he has the markability.
I think that's part of playing of New Orleans, though, because we don't get to see a ton of AD.
But look at Russell. You talked about markets. Russell Westbrook's one of those marketable players in the NBA. And in terms of votes, Kawhi Leonard is still getting an insane amount of votes with the All-Stars.
The only thing I'd say, though, is those teams have had way more success than Anthony Davis has ever had. Westbrook and Durant were on the biggest stages.
But Westbrook
OKC has an amazing fan base for a small market.
Yes, true. I think that there are a lot more that is true. They're a lot more dedicated than...
This guest needs to get out of here.
I think we know she's a bit up. She must be a Pelicans fan.
She's like Anthony Davis to Brooklyn. Oh, I heard you, Andy.
Good point.
I think he's most likely to leave. I had to put a percentage on it. I think 80 is a good number because something about AD, he does have loyalty in him.
Yeah.
And like, if they do have a great playoff series, but I think he does want to win a championship.
Yes.
If I'm New Orleans, I'd probably move him off season.
He's a free agent, not this year, the year after, right?
Yeah.
I think if they don't make the playoffs this year, then he's gone.
Yeah.
I would move him. I don't think he'll sign in the Supermax. It just doesn't really make sense.
Well, if Kawhi didn't, then what would it lure him to? And he can make back that money. And we've sort of talked about, in terms of if he re-signs with a new team, he can do like these 3+1s that sort of KD has done. And he gets like basically like not even $10 million off that. So it's $10 million. I mean, it's a lot of money. But to a guy who's going to make hundreds of millions of dollars,
I truly believe that if he was in New York or California, he's making up that money. Even Boston, to an extent, the options that you have with just so many different avenues, especially just California being with movies being the brow.
Yeah.
I think they could market that. He's kept it too for a reason. So
that's true.
It's not like, and he also doesn't come off as like an asshole.
No,
which I think
he seems very humble. Because him and Cousins had like a lot of.
It was a fire and ice.
Right. They had a lot of videos put out like of them like interacting.
Yeah.
And you can tell that Anthony Davis is just like a chill dude.
Cool,
like,
dude.
I would like to sit down and have a conversation with Davis. He's one of those like guys.
I'm interested in him as a person. But
I want to know more about him. And that's why I think going to a new market, like you mentioned, Nick, will allow us to see Anthony Davis the person, which I think is something really intriguing.
Pelican fans already turned off the show. So
sorry, guys.
We could talk top three before we get into the next team. I'm really intrigued with AD talk, obviously. Top three destinations if he does leave.
Lakers, Boston, and then... I don't know. I want to hear your guys' thoughts so then I can sort of think
about
it.
No, Jack, you made us put the pressure on with the...
Lakers, Boston, and... Let's go Clippers.
Yeah, I mean, Lakers and Celtics have to be in the conversation. And then, I mean, you can make a, an argument that maybe if they got desperate enough that I wouldn't be surprised if the Warriors tried to go after him.
Because hint, hint, OTG trade marathon coming up.
Something's brewing. What do you guys think about Boston? Now, Danny Ainge took a major shot at LeBron.
Yeah.
Like, people are going to put it under the rug and say it's not a big deal. But no, comparing Donald Trump and LeBron, the person that LeBron probably hates, and
more than
LeBron
anyone.
LeBron's essentially president of Clutch Sports.
LeBron is essentially president of the NBA and the entire sport. You do not want to mess with a man like that. In good ways, because
I don't think that he's letting him go to Boston. Like, I don't think that, like, that's a real thing.
I mean, I understand that. For me, I don't think Boston is as high as the Lakers or even another team on the list. If we have Kyrie Irving and Anthony Davis on that list, are they the best team in the NBA? I mean,
could be.
Probably. Kyrie Irving's one of the best point guards, and Anthony Davis is, you know, an historically great power forward. I mean, it's interesting to see how much that plays.
It'll tell us how much relationships really mean.
Fast forward 6 to 8 months, it'll be fascinating.
I think the one thing that, for me, like the Celtics, that roster completely has to be reshaped if they get Anthony Davis.
And there's also some trick with the salary cap. It's almost like...
They have to do it postseason because Kyrie Irving's restricted free agency.
You'd almost think they'd have to move Gordon Hayward money-wise to make
Horford.
Horford's expiring.
Oh, is he? Okay.
Yeah. So that would be another interesting avenue. I really like Cam's article where he wrote about the dark horse teams that would have interest in Anthony Davis, because I think that there's potential for them not wanting to do business with one of the bigger teams.
Who are the dark markets?
I'll pull it up.
I'll bring up, I'm sure it might be one of the teams on there, but I know this
Mavericks.
The Sixers could be. Do you trade Ben Simmons for Anthony Davis? Ben Simmons and something. Like, I mean, Anthony Davis, I think he's better. And I think his ceiling is better. And I think, you know, we saw the Twin Towers to an extent. That would be probably the best front court in the history of the sport. Like, you had Joel Embiid, who's an MVP candidate. You had Anthony Davis, who I think...
MVP candidate.
He could, like, run the point as well. And, like, you've got... But, again, you know, with Jimmy Butler, I don't know what that is.
I don't know, because I felt like Davis played better when Cousins was out.
Yeah.
And he played better with Mirotic, a lesser player to his extent.
Yeah.
But I also think AD's best position is center in the NBA.
I mean, definitely is.
Especially in the nowadays with the small ball and everything else. He's just so athletically gifted that the center position is amazing. Fast.
But when everyone's zigging, sometimes you zag. And like, do you want to combat that with your own sort of version of something wild and absolutely insane? Because the Pelicans were great in terms of the numbers that those two were putting up. And I think, you know, it's becoming a very big dominated league. Obviously, you know, I think Giannis is a big man. He plays like a big man.
Physically a big man.
Exactly. Like, outside of some of like the best superstars, you know, you look at Jokic, you look at Towns, you look at Porzingis, these sort of guys. I think that, you know, the league is obviously trending big. Obviously, it's small ball big to an extent, and bigs with small ability in terms of being able to pass, being able to shoot. But that's why the Sixers is somewhat, like, you know, fascinates me to an extent.
Yeah. So shout out to our boy Cam. Definitely still can't pronounce his last name.
Can't T.
Killer Cam.
So he's got Milwaukee Bucks.
Like it.
Chicago Bulls, no. Definitely no. San Antonio Spurs.
He's from Chicago, isn't he?
Boston, I believe. Los Angeles Clippers.
One of my picks.
Dark horse.
Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah, okay. Well, like, if that's happening, then I might have to move to Brooklyn and, like, find an apartment, like, right next to Barclays so I can just watch him every day.
I think those are solid. I know I just mentioned the Mavericks. That's probably be, like, I would love to see him and Doncic.
Oh, man.
That is potential. Really Cuban fun. Is just an aggressive owner.
Yeah.
So that brings...
What, him and Giannis wouldn't
and
be fun?
And they keep swinging... Oh,
my God.
Him and Antetokounmpo.
Oh, my God.
Could you defend that pick and roll?
No.
Like using four players?
Think about... if they had Davis with Chris Middleton and Antetokounmpo, think about the goddamn length of that team.
There would be...
Wingspans for days.
You could fill out that team with, like, Kyle Korver and, like, Paul Reale out of retirement.
Oh, man.
Jesus, Mary and Joseph.
The Spurs are an interesting case, too, because he cares about legacy. If he got some type of commitment from Popovich, their team isn't amazing right now.
Yeah.
And they do have Aldridge coming off the books this year. Yes. So they can save some money. And Davis and DeRozan could be an interesting pick.
Yeah. Obviously, I'd rather play with Giannis. But also, Milwaukee's not that market. San Antonio, not that market. Clippers, that market. But they'd have to land
another
Kawhi
one.
Or KD this offseason.
And I think they can. I think they can.
Brooklyn honestly intrigues me, not just because I'm a Nets fan, but because the market, and the fact is, one superstar is what this Nets team of budding slash role players has.
Him and D'Lo in the pick and roll.
Him and Karras.
Him and Karras. Man, yeah, we gotta get to the next team because I'm getting, like, you know, way too flustered at this right now.
Yeah, we gotta get you some ice. All right, on to the next team, bringing them up, the Mavericks. So they've had some hot stretches. Luka's been, as advertised, if not better.
Luka mania.
Probably rookie of the year already in my book for sure. I would lock that in. Other than
injury. If he doesn't play for the rest of the season, we compare it to like a Joel Embiid when Malcolm Brogdon won it.
I thought Dario Saric should have won that year, but that's just me.
Yeah, I mean, I personally think that if he's out for the rest of the season, he can't, because I think Ayton and Jackson are too good of, like, lesser contenders, whereas Malcolm Brogdon against Joel Embiid was, like...
They're all-star caliber players moving forward, where Malcolm Brogdon and Saric weren't that.
So, I mean, as much as, like, everyone is on the Luka bandwagon, as we saw of the all-star votes, I think that there is enough there. But I think the Mavs here, I think, is pretty accurate. You know, they're that middle sort of rung. I think the fact that I've seen some glimpses from Dennis Smith Jr. that I'm sort of liking as well.
He had that really good defensive possession. I know his defense is inconsistent, but he has
so much potential. Yeah. And, like, I think that, you know, it's not the ideal fit next to Luka, you know, for the next 10 years. But I think you can make it work. And I think, you know, I don't like Harrison Barnes as a player in general.
Expiring,
like,
as well,
I think he's on, like, he averages, like, an assist a game. And, like, you should not...
He's like a suction cup for the ball.
He really is. And, like, I think that the...
I like Harrison Barnes.
How likely...
It's because you like LeBron. He's the reason you won that chip.
That might be why.
How likely is it that the Mavs make the playoffs in the West, like, percentage-wise? Like, I know that there's plenty of, like, you know, 538, all these sort of stuff. I'm giving them, because I'm going to answer my own question here, I guess, at 28%, I think, between 25 and 30. I think that they've got a chance, because Luka has been so great. DeAndre is doing fine. He's not a great defender anymore, but him and Luka in the pick and roll is just...
He's a big body.
Oh, yeah. He's just...
He's a big human.
He's just a large unit. Yeah, a large unit.
According to my power rankings, I have the Mavs 15th.
That's so just...
I'm a little high, and I had them, but if you, like, count, like, the teams in the top 15, they're 10th in the West in playoffs. And I think they probably are just outside the playoffs with the current roster, because, again, Wesley Matthews, they could probably move him.
Yep.
Dennis Smith Jr., if they wanted to sell on him, you can get assets.
They have been able to.
That's their best chance to make the playoffs, because they moved Dennis Smith for a better player.
And he's looked decent the last stretch. I mean, granted... Defensively,
no first
at
round
times.
Pick next year as well. Just throwing that out
again.
There.
That's well, they don't have one this year, either, do they?
No, this year. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, that's why they. That's why they're all in now. Like,
if you ask me right now, the teams that are ahead of them currently in the playoffs, looking at Denver, OKC, Golden State, Houston, Portland, the Clippers, San Antonio, and the Lakers, I like all those teams to make the playoffs more than the Mavs.
I agree.
But I think that they might be slightly above a team like the Grizzlies for me.
Yeah, no.
For me, too.
Yeah, the Grizzlies, for sure. They've looked pretty bad.
Yeah.
But I will say Dallas is 3-7 their last 10. Yeah. Absolutely terrible on the road. 3-17.
Yeah, they're really bad. They're really bad when it comes to away.
They played last night in Boston. I caught the third quarter of that game. And the Celtics went on a 21-6 run.
Luka got, like, a really big ovation in Boston. Is
I know.
Heard?
Like, Luka, and, like, Luka made is just something that just, like, I don't know if anyone expected, but, like, he...
Especially because there was so much hate from specific draft people. Yeah. For this, and, like, he's not top 10.
But he's the perfect sort of internet darling.
Yeah.
Like, he's gifable, like, beyond belief. The little little claps are very cute. Corey kind of looks like him when he does that. And then at the same time, like, he has, you know, he's the House of Highlights dude. You're going to see him everywhere, be it on
Step
Twitter,
back,
be it on Instagram.
He's already got a signature shot.
Yeah.
What 19-year-old as a rookie in the NBA has a signature move?
Not many, if any.
It definitely looks similar to James Harden's.
It does, and like, he's second in the NBA. I mean, he is 72 behind James.
I was going to say.
did the maths quite quickly in my head there. That's the promiseful teacher in me. But yeah, I think I like the Mavs. But this season, like you mentioned, the fact that they don't have their own draft pick, they're all in on it. And Luka has been, not a revelation, but he has been better than even a lot of us expected.
So I would say all of the teams that drafted, like, we were talking about the top five tanking teams, they all had Luka. The direction of their franchise would completely be different.
I would love him on the Kings.
I would have loved him on the Suns.
Higher. I think they're all five spots higher, probably. They're not bottom teams.
I mean, the Cavs, the Knicks are probably still pretty bad because they're more so in the tanking. And, the Bulls maybe could be better, depending on what's going on. The Suns, Devin Booker having a point guard.
That'd be amazing.
Ayton wouldn't be there.
Igor Kokoshkov system as well.
And he coached him internationally.
He did,
which
in
is,
Slovenia.
I was super surprised they did not take him. Yep. Atlanta, with that style of play, That would have been very enticing. But
Kings, man, the Kings. I just love the Kings fit, but again,
Orlando would have been.
Orlando would have been.
They could have used him desperately for that playmaker.
Aaron Gordon, Isaac. Oops.
Vucevic would have been used slightly better.
I think. Yeah,
I'm okay. I wouldn't have said the Kings. I'm okay with how the Kings did because
De'Aaron Fox and Luka Doncic together.
I don't think they can coexist.
I think that was the big question.
I don't think they could have.
All right, that's fair.
Because De'Aaron Fox, if you watch the Kings game, De'Aaron Fox has the ball in his hands a lot of the time. Granted, he does. Bogdanović is kind of like their offensive spark plug off the bench. But yeah. I think Luka needs the ball in his hands, and so does De'Aaron Fox. I just don't think. I mean, they probably could have made it work realistically, but I don't think De'Aaron Fox has this kind of second year if Luka Doncic is playing with him.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, I also just don't like the Marvin Bagley pick, but that's for another day.
Solid, though. He's been solid.
Yeah, he's been solid, but I think they could have done differently there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So over the Mavs, they've been kind of struggling. It'll be interesting to see what they do over the next month leading up to the trade deadline. Obviously, no pick, so be kind of concerning. Charlotte Hornets up next in the ranking. Obviously, Zeller, 4 to 6 weeks?
Yep.
Lamb with a hamstring strain, something that he'll come back from, but it'll probably be lingering. Not super promising over their last 10 either.
No, not at all. And I think Kemba has come back down to earth a little bit. You know, he was
more
having
pressure than what we saw the Nets. They were putting out a zone that was strictly on Kemba. It was,
yeah.
You know, you very rarely
and
see
I
that.
Think that's all you have to do if you're versing the Hornets these days. Just stop Kemba. Just double him.
Especially no Lamb. Like,
yeah.
He's been their second best player.
Exactly. And I mean, I've liked Miles Bridges. I've liked what I've seen from him as well. But I think in terms of what they are going forward, unless Kemba can get back to that form, then I think they slip out of the playoff race. But I still think Kemba's an all-star, and obviously it'll be nice to see him in Charlotte in his hometown. Not his hometown, but like his home team town.
Mm-hmm.
But I still think that they're a shot because when you have a superstar on your team, you know, we sort of talked about how the stars sort of are impacting their teams in general. I still think they're a chance as long as Kemba is healthy.
Yeah, and I'll just say this. I refer to superstars only as, like, the top seven players in the league.
I think it's a star.
Yeah, you said superstar.
Yeah.
I was about to say, that's
yeah.
Pump.
Right? I would say star. Yeah.
I mean, Jeremy Lamb being out and Cody Zeller, that hurts his team.
They're both very good players that you just don't think about because
they're
play pros. Yeah,
like
they're starters on a lot of teams in the league. Jeremy Lamb took a while to develop, but it was worth it because
yeah, he's been good.
I don't know
nice
the
contract.
Exact stats, but I'm pretty sure only three players on the Hornets average over 10 points.
Yeah.
And it's Kemba Walker, Jeremy Lamb, and I want to say Marvin Williams.
Probably.
Yeah.
But if it's not Marvin Williams, it might be Malik Monk.
It's definitely Michael K. Gilchrist.
It's definitely not him. I want to say it's Kemba, Jeremy Lamb and Malik Monk are the only three Hornets that are averaging double digits. And
yeah.
Then Marvin Williams and Batum, all those guys are averaging like 9.8 or whatever.
Yeah.
Jeremy Lamb missing time is probably like the worst thing that could happen to this
You really need a guy like Malik Monk to step up right now.
Kemba at 25, Jeremy Lamb at 15,
ooh.
Monk at 10, and then Marvin Williams at 9.8. Tony Parker at 9.4, and Zeller at 9.3.
Tony P's been all right.
He's been solid.
He's been 100 times better, and that's something I was completely wrong about.
Yeah.
But good for him.
They desperately have lacked backup point guard play for
they've
Kemba Walker to get some rest, and they finally have
it. He plays good with him on the floor as well.
Yeah,
it lets him, like,
we were speaking to some of our guys with Sports Host, these really friendly French fellows, Charles and Charles and Christoph, and they're like, Tony P is like, you know, an absolute stud over there in France.
He's like their MJ.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised. He's got,
like,
all those rings from San Antonio.
And he's
so
quite a handsome man. He dated Eva Longoria.
He cheated on
him.
Yeah,
him.
He is a scumbag.
Idiot.
I don't personally think he's good looking, so I was surprised that he was.
Have you heard his rap songs? Oh my god, that changed my life.
God. Oh god.
Just don't.
All right, but on the Hornets level, it's going to be tough. They're going to make a move, probably, I would assume. MJ is not about that tanking-ish.
Can we get traded?
That's the only way I see them tank, is if they trade Kemba.
I think Jordan's too stubborn.
Yeah.
Which is stupid. But
that's onus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, MJ. Please, give me some shoes. But Miami Heat, a team that's been playing really well, and they've done a lot better since Goran Dragic has gone down.
Point Justice.
Yeah.
Justice has
He's
supreme.
Looking like actually the player that he was. Like, he wasn't necessarily supposed to be a playmaker, but he's supposed to be a really good offensive player.
Yeah.
Will develop that skill set as he progressed in the NBA, and now he's starting to do that. Just a little later than Miami wanted.
Yeah, he's getting some, like, sort of Draymond-type sort of play in terms of his playmaking ability. I really like the Miami Heat in terms of they're one of the most well-coached teams in the NBA.
Another team.
Yeah, a very good team. But at the same time, compared to a lot of the other sort of teams we're talking about, their roster amalgamation in terms of their contracts, that is very, very scary and not something that I'm a big fan of. And if you were if you were a general manager, I mean, there's a lot of guys there. And I think that they've all got a lot of pieces that a lot of other teams would want. You know, Kelly Olynyk is one of the best backup centers in the league. James Johnson's a really good player.
His defense is bad, though.
His defense is bad, but I think a lot of other guys are making up for it. Hassan Whiteside. I think
contract is what kills you.
It is, and I think Bam Adebayo is so much better.
Love Bam.
I mean, I'm a big Bam fan. Say that a couple of times. I think that should be on a shirt.
Big Bam fan.
Big Bam fan. So yeah, I think that if any team trades for Hassan Whiteside, I think that could, you know, elevate them even further. But I don't expect. I'm sort of forecasting here, but I think Hassan Whiteside is not going to be wearing Miami Heat jersey beyond this season.
I mean, I'd be interested to see where the hell or who would want that.
He makes 27 next year.
Yeah, it's tough to move. He's unplayable. A tanking team,
maybe expiring deal. Yeah. Someone looking to open cap space, best bet.
I mean, the Hawks could use him for like a short period of time if you want.
I think someone said the Wizards for Otto Porter. This is like a straight up trade.
To be honest, like, and I'm not taking shots at Son, I don't know him personally. Culture wise, not a fit in my book in a lot of situations.
Oh, yeah.
That's why you send him to Washington.
Yeah. Him and Dwight.
Imagine Son wise out of Dwight Howard. Yeah, all right,
yeah,
cool.
Mean, so we're looking at the Heat, obviously. I mean, now with point justice becoming a thing, it makes them, Goran Dragic now is officially expendable, which I already thought he kind of was going into this year. I thought that was one of the guys they probably would try to move.
It's in the Phoenix.
Nice reunion.
Is he
Slovenian?
I was going to say Slovenian
with Igor Kokoschkov, yeah.
Tyler Johnson, I think he has some value, but the deal,
Thank God we got rid of him. Oh my God.
I'm happy with the fact that this team is competing the way they are. Obviously, I think this is a team that should blow it up.
But they're not going to
because of Wade.
Do you guys, I mean, it's probably...
I don't even think they can blow it up.
There's probably vested interest here from Nick and myself. But, like, do we really want to see the, like, Miami Heat in, like, the 8th seed, 7th seed again versus one of the top seeds? Like, I want to see the Nets or the Pistons or the Hornets. Like, I think they'd be...
I'd rather see the Heat than the Pistons.
Let's rank them real quickly. So we got four teams. We're talking Hornets, Heat, Nets, and Pistons. Rank who would you want to see
Hornets
in the play?
Hornets, Heat. Okay, Nets, obviously.
I think, no, not even being a Nets fan, they play the most exciting style of
basketball. Yeah, out of those four teams.
For me, honestly, it'd be Nets, and then it'd probably be Heat.
Hornets and Pistons.
Pistons and Hornets. Nothing about the Hornets really interests me because it's just Kemba and no one else on that team really excites me.
I like seeing stars though, and I think I want to see what Blake can do. I want to see what Kemba can do. Can he drag his team for like a couple of games and like have his moments? Whereas I think a Heat, it's just like, oh, okay, well, Justice Winslow's going to have 10 points and 5 assists or something like that, and Hassan Whiteside's going to be like an absolute liability. Like that series with the Sixers was nice and there was some storylines there and stuff, but I don't know, I'm just a bit bored with the Heat, and it's a completely just non-analytical, subjective point that I have.
No, I honestly, and I'm not saying this sounds so biased, but like all those teams aren't fun other than the Nets.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I agree. The rate of, like, the
Hornets, I have a little interest in the Hornets because of Kemba. Like, cardiac Kemba.
I like Malik Monk. I like Miles Bridges.
Malik Monk is, like, so hot and cold that he's fun to watch because, he'll, like, airball a three and then swish a three.
Yeah, I think I'm looking at just the fact, like, I don't think I would have any interest in the Heat if it wasn't Wade's last year.
That does kind of cloud my...
Because Wade, actually, if you look at his... I know Jorge...
His defense kind of sucks.
His defense does kind of... But offensively, he still is a very good playmaker. He had last night against the Wizards... He hit the patented... I'm going to fake to my left, and I'm going to go right.
Yeah.
And falls for it still. He pumped it. He's like, hey, guys, I'm a pump thing. Okay. Gotcha. Like, how do you still fall for this? He's in year 15 or
it's
whatever.
It's like James Harden with his arms. It's just like, I'm going to make you fail. Like, I just know.
Yeah. I don't know. The Pistons have some intrigue with Blake. The Heat, like, I have a soft spot for Richardson. I really like his game.
He's solid.
Yeah,
he's
right.
I like two-way players, but we'll talk about the playoff race another day.
True.
The Heat, though, I think they're in a good spot. So far, over the last few teams, I would boost the Nets over a lot of them. Other than that, though, I think the rankings are pretty solid. Moving on to the Utah Jazz, who I probably think is too high on this list.
Yeah, I think sort of Corey mentioned the fact of like teams being here on reputation.
Yes.
I think the Jazz are probably one of those sort of teams in terms of how they play. They've been okay, but they haven't been like, you know, had any sort of major stretches like the Houston Rockets or like the Nets or like the Pacers or any of that sort of thing. I don't think that they've necessarily got everything together. They're sort of making baby steps forward. Donovan Mitchell has had, you know, a similar season to his rookie season. And
I actually want to say this. This is like, might come off as a hot take. I will say Donovan Mitchell is probably better this season because he's getting so much more attention and he's putting up the same numbers. If you watch a Jazz game, all five defenders... five defenders are looking at him while he's trying to make plays. Last year, he was a rookie. They're like, oh, let's let the rookie play.
Yeah, I don't think that's wrong in any sense of it. I think all of them are. I think the same with Simmons and Tatum. I think that anyone who sort of just goes by like the optics and the stats or whatever, I think all three of those guys have made improvements. But Rudy Gobert is starting to finally impact on the defensive end, which I think is helping them. But, you know, Kyle Korver can only do so much. Joe Ingles isn't having the same impact, which pains me to say because, you know, I can't badmouth any Australian on a podcast, especially when I have an American platform. I think if Joe Ingles, I think he might be the most important player, and that might be, you know, somewhat out there to sort of say. I mean, we know what Rudy Gobert gives you, we know what Donovan Mitchell gives you, but Joe Ingles transforms that offense.
Yeah, he's like hot and cold too, because he'll have the games where
he was
he's
like the best like 3-point shooter
in the playoffs last year. He was crazy.
Yeah.
He still has like crazy I don't know if you guys saw the other night, he like looked at somebody, he was like, I'm gonna shoot this, and
he
made it. And I was like this guy's awesome. Like, last year against Paul George, he was literally in Paul George's head more than I've ever seen anyone in Paul George's head.
He's
in
got
his entire career.
Mad shit talk. Like, he's got that Aussie sort of trash talk, and it's pretty awesome. Like, I'm a big fan of like trash talk in general. Not when I'm playing, but when
as
Jack
a
viewer.
And I were playing cards, he was just going off.
You're
king!
Hit me! But yeah, Joe Ingles, if he can get back to a semblance of last year's form, then I think that they can at least sniff the playoffs. But I think the top four in a home playoff seed might be out of realm, which
100%.
Is
100%.
You know who's been really bad for them, and this is probably the main reason their season's been so bad?
Ricky
Rubio.
Yeah.
He went from being able to make a jump shot last season to this year, 39% from the field, 33% from three. No one's even defending him out there. Last year, you had to at least give him a little attention. That's hurting Donovan Mitchell. When you have two guards, one guard can shoot, the other guard can't shoot.
Well, the issue for the Jazz
I think they need a point guard. I really think that. And I brought that up on the OTG Twitter before. Dante Exum's developing, but he's not quite there yet.
Right. You know what I wouldn't mind? We were still talking about Reggie Jackson earlier. I reckon a Reggie, and it's not necessarily going to change anything dramatically. Reggie Jackson for Ricky Rubio. I don't know how much that benefits either team.
I mean, I would even
spacing
say,
would kind of suck, though.
I would even
for
say maybe
Pistons.
Even Jeremy Lin.
True. Yeah, that'd be a great trade.
I think because you look at the Jazz, so like Donovan Mitchell's the number one option, right?
Yeah.
There's like five guys tied for the number two option.
Yeah.
Like, there's no number
and none
two
of them
option.
Were actually really number two
exactly.
options.
Exactly. They're more like 3-4s who can be a two on a good night.
Yeah.
And that's the issue with this Jazz team, as you guys have mentioned. You know, Donovan Mitchell's stats, really not that much different than last year, but there's more attention on him, there's more eyes, and he's not breaking free this season, though, for big games as much as he was last year.
Donovan Mitchell's like literally, you said, not breaking free for big games. He's not breaking free from defenders at all because
there's
so much damn attention.
Exactly. Yeah.
I watch him and he just gets swarmed. Like last year we saw.
Can't drive.
Yeah, because it's just like.
Right. And then because he can't drive.
He's shooting a lot of contested.
He's taking bad shots. That's what happens. And everyone's like, oh, he just doesn't have a good shot IQ. But when they cut off half of your game, you can't get into the paint, which was a huge part of Donovan Mitchell's game last year.
Yeah.
And you're forced to rely on just jump shots. You're going to become less efficient. It's
we saw a lot of dunk highlights from Mitchell last season. We haven't seen many of them this
and that's
season.
That's why Snyder's not even mad about Mitchell. That he's come out and said it
he
multiple
said he's
times.
He's got to be our number one option. Yeah. He's got to shoot as much as he shoots.
Yeah.
So I've lost faith. I mean, you could easily drop the Jazz five underneath.
I have them above the Grizzlies, though, to be honest.
Yeah, the Grizzlies... We're not going to get to the Grizzlies quite yet.
I had the Jazz 19th
I don't
on
even
my list.
Know how the hell the Grizzlies
well, that was... They hadn't had that sort
they
of
had that
mini,
mini good stretch.
Yeah.
But
I had them high on my list too, though, so like I kind of feel bad.
I think I had the Grizzlies around that sort of mark as well because of the fact that they were like first for like an extended period. Like, in terms of if you're comparing to like them and the Clippers, it was sort of like them two fighting it out. And the Clippers sort of maintained a semblance because they have nice cohesion and Doc Rivers had a good season.
They have
coaching.
Better overall players in the depth-wise.
Again, we'll get to them. But the Grizzlies, to me, I understand why they are where they are.
Yeah.
I mean, the only thing with the Grizzlies is, you know, they had that hot start, obviously. But Gasol is no longer having a career year. And not to mention... What does that say?
Break. Like, we're going to take a break after.
Oh, he might just sleep. He wrote it out. I had to still ask the question. I can't read upside down. But, you know, Saul had this crazy start.
Corey also hit his knuckles on the fan. He also couldn't lock the door today, so he's having a really good day.
I'm 0 for 3. Parallel park. 0 for 4.
Adulting is hard for Corey.
He does have a new OTG t-shirt and glasses.
It's way go. But Marcus was having this career year. I remember his highest three-point shooting percentage.
He's like defensive player of the year.
Right. Mike Connolly was playing really good. Those guys have come back down to earth.
Conley's still playing well. Gasol is not.
I was not impressed. I watched Gasol last night against the Nets. 0% impressed. You asked me who I'm taking moving forward. Jared Allen played a better game than Marc Gasol probably did.
Yeah.
And Jaren Jackson, I think, for Memphis, isn't getting enough.
He's not.
We talked about that.
Not getting used right. No, not at all.
He's really, really good already.
Beat us last time. He beat the Nets last time. He was the reason why we lost. Yet this time around, because he might have been in somewhat of foul trouble or whatever.
That's his only real issue right now is, I think, foul trouble.
Like, Jermichael Green, Kyle Anderson, all these sort of, like,
Jared weird... Jared Parsons completely flopped.
I mean, he's not going to...
He's healthy and he's not playing now.
Like, I think that he might have to divert his career to, like, a modeling career, because, like, I don't know what he's going to do.
He's pretty pretty.
He's a very good-looking man.
He comes off as an asshole.
Good eyes.
He does. And I think he spends, like, a lot of off-seasons in LA with, like, Blake Griffin and stuff, so they were definitely...
surprised.
I mean, not at all. He's probably best mates with Kendall or friends by association.
He's really good friends with Mark Cuban. They used to always go out and party when they
used to. Yeah, that worked out really well.
Thank God for that.
But, guys, that wraps up the first half of the rankings. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back for the second half. Check us out, iTunes, Block Talk Radio, OTGBasketball.com, Dash Radio, YouTube, and Google Play.